Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are joined by the one and only Pat, who's going to be playing at 9:30 Club this Thursday, along with Randy Rogers and Josh Abbott Band. Hey, Pat, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Jason, thanks for having me on the air. I really appreciate it. Yeah, glad to be getting up to D.C.
So I'm telling you, my wife and I are so excited for this. We got engaged down in Texas, and Red Dirt Country is sort of our whole the whole thing's built around.
Oh, wow.
We're obsessed with it. So explain how this thing together. It's called the Texas Independence Day Show. I guess Independence Day is coming up on like March 2nd, but how did you guys put that together? Is that sort of a tour you guys are doing, or is this a one-off thing, or what's the deal with it?
I've got to be really honest. I have no idea how that all came together. I know that we always play in New York during the same time of year. Yes, I am a Texan, but, man, you don't have to give me a reason to come up to the Northeast. I just love it up there. And, man, it coincides with the celebratory day that we have for the great state. So, and there's a lot of displaced Texans up there. So happy to come and entertain them.
So, but is it part of like a Northeast, like a tour surrounding the Independence Day, or it's not a one-off of the night, is it?
Well, no, they've been doing it, that's the Texas Independence Day show for 12 years now up in New York. So I have a feeling that they're piggybacking on this one a little bit. And I don't even know exactly what day it is. It falls on this year. So.
Gotcha. Well, I love the spirit behind the whole thing. Have you played 9:30 before?
Oh, I've played 9:30 for the last, I don't know, probably 20 years. Yeah, I've been coming up. I love it up there. And, playing the Birchmere, we used to play, pretty much any venue that we could get our hands on. One time I played at the FedEx Field with Kenny Chesney on a big show. That was 13 years ago. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Now, I want to, before we dive further into your career, you're the man of the hour here on the phone, but dote on your co-headliners here. So you got, it's you playing, and then what makes Randy Rogers and Josh Abbott Band so special?
Man, I it's like old Paul Simon said, I don't know, when I was in high school, he said every generation sends a hero up the pop chart. But, yeah, when I was in probably 2002, 2003, I was pretty close to the top of the country music charts, and then it was Randy's turn, and then it was Josh's turn, and so now I'm just the vet. I got the gray in my beard to prove it too,
See, but you were the cool rising star that we were all, digging on, and now so it's got to be weird to be the vet, and you show those guys the ropes, when they're backstage and stuff.
I can juggle, but as far as anything else, I mean, I think they've already landed their proverbial rocket ships too. So they know what they're doing, and they're wonderful at it.
Yeah, and if our listeners, they might have heard of Pat Green for sure because you've been established for a while. But if you haven't heard, that Josh Abbott or Randy Rogers, I mean, look up, like Kiss Me in the Dark. I mean, he's got some good ones that are circling
wonderful
out there. In my arms instead. And he's got some good ones. But anyway,
I think veteran means old and fat with a gray beard. That's really all I can get out of that.
I love it. All right. Hey, I want to know how you got started in this whole racket. So take me back. You were born in Texas. So,
sure.
Fitting here for this tour. But how'd you get into country music, as a kid? Was it playing around the house, or, how did you get bit by that bug?
Well, I really wasn't into country music when I was, until I got to college. And that's actually the same time I started playing guitar. And that's when a girlfriend of mine introduced me to Robert Earl Keen and Jerry Jeff Walker. And she was real big in the Austin scene, in that kind of music, kind of almost Americana. But at any rate, that's just when I started playing. Those were the songs I was learning because I was so excited by the new kind of music. I was really into like the Doors and Bowie and Springsteen when I was a kid, and so it was brand new to me, and I got very excited. And when I started writing was a year later. I was still really into exploring that scene myself, and it just came naturally, I guess.
Gotcha, I see. And so what, before you started, diving into music full time, like you said, I guess more around college age. But what was Pat Green's previous life? You worked in like the fuel business, is that right?
I did for a little while. I got out of college and, you know, wasn't able to make it on my own yet. And I tried being a bartender and a waiter for a while. That was really not at all my bag of tricks. I love serving people, but I don't, you know, I don't like living in an apartment. And so I went and got a job working for my stepdad in his oil business. We sold gas to gas stations, basically a gasoline wholesaler. And so that worked out for about a year. And then during that year, my band started really getting some pretty good traction. And I wrote a few more songs and I put out another record, and that record really sunk its teeth into the radio station, the big ones around Texas and Houston and Dallas, Austin and San Antonio. And the next thing I knew, I was showing up late on Mondays for work because I was too tired from the weekend, and I was leaving on Thursday and not showing up at all on Friday, and my dad had enough. And so, yeah, I had to move on, and, you know, then there started my life in music for sure.
Nice. Now, that album you're talking about, was that one of the, you know, the Lloyd Maines productions that you did back then?
Yeah, that's right. Carry On was the first one that really went big. And then that was actually the first single off of the 3 Days album. And then 3 Days came out and that got some Grammy nominations. And then right after that was Wave on Wave. And then right after that, it just kept going and going. And I think we got, I don't know, 15 or 16 songs that got inside the top 40. So, you know, I feel like that's enough to, well, I'm still singing on the backs of those songs. They're kind of, I don't know. I'm not Duran Duran, but I'm still having fun.
I love it. So explain sort of like, as you're just explain how sort of the Texas groundswell, you know, how that's such a part of you, how, you know, like explain what Red Tree, sort of that whole Texas vibe is compared to, you know, maybe some of the other, you know,
yeah,
I don't know, tailgate stuff, bro country here on the radio.
I feel like it was a very grassroots thing, a very natural thing. I think there was so much going on in mainstream country music in the 90s with Garth Brooks and the Reba McEntires, and it was really polished and slick, and it was just not really my kind of country music, because I was really, you know, like I said, Jerry Jeff Walker, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, etc., which is, I'm not going to say basic, but it's just more acoustic driven. It's more earthy. And I feel like that at the end of the 90s, once Garth Brooks was kind of had his peak, people just kind of naturally, just like they do all the time, they just kind of naturally shift away from something that's really big into something that's more down to earth. Kind of like if you listen to some of the 80s rock with Howard Jones and like Duran Duran, da da da, and you see that, you know, everybody went grunge, and it was Nirvana and the great grunge bands that came out during that time, Widespread, etc., that really kind of changed rock and roll back to a different kind of norm. And but the same thing was happening in country music, and I was just standing there. I was kind of like the next guy to come across the board, you know. And, you know, it was the Dixie Chicks who were really, they had a really kind of earthy acoustic tone. They were, you know, they were singing not quite so polished stuff. And I can't remember what it was, By Earl or Earl's Dead
good
or whatever that was.
Earl, yeah.
Yeah, Goodbye, yeah. Earl. And I was kind of in that with that group too. And I had, you know, 3 Days and Wave on Wave that were really, you know, I wasn't singing about the rodeo, de odeo, de odeo.
right. Exactly. Talk about, you mentioned there early, you know, you mentioned Willie Nelson in there. How, I know like sort of, you know, him early helped bring you, you know, more exposure down there. How did you catch Willie's eye?
Well, it was a bribe, actually. Pootie Lock, God rest his soul, was Willie Nelson's stage manager. for 30 years. And I was friends with him because, you know, I was really a Willie groupie. You know, I was always hanging around backstage to try to say hi. And Pootie was always nice to me. And anyway, I bribed Pootie with 2 free shows at his bar, which is down in Austin, where we were living at the time. I said, I'll play your show, your bar for free for 2 nights if you get me an opening slot with Willie on his 4th of July picnic. And he did it. And that was the first time he ever laid eyes on me. And then we started doing shows, more and more shows together. And, you know, I wouldn't say we ever went on like a full year-long tour, just because Willie's never off tour. He's always on the road. But we did an awful lot of shows with him. And so I'm really excited. I haven't played with him in over a year. But we've got 2 shows with him down here in New Braunfels at the Whitewater Amphitheater coming up in April. So, yeah, it's going to be good to get back with him.
You mentioned New Braunfels. That's where the engagement happened. It's very random, man, that you mentioned that. I love it.
The beautiful town.
Yeah, man. About halfway between Austin and San Antonio, man. Everybody check it out. Hey, tell me about writing 3 Days with Radney Foster. How did that sound?
Yeah, I was coming home. I think I was up in Cleveland doing a show back in when we were still riding around in a van, and I'd been driving and driving and driving and driving. I was really tired, and one of the towns that between there and home was in Nashville, and that's where Radney was living at the time. And he's a Del Rio guy, and I knew he was a Texas guy, but I didn't really know him, but I knew some guys that knew him, and so I just called him and I said, "Hey, Radney, hey, can I stop by and maybe write a song with you on my way through Nashville?" And I walked in the door, and he goes, "Man, you look really tired." And I go, "I am. I'm exhausted." And so he sent me down to his little studio in the basement, and he said, "Go sleep on that couch for a minute. When you wake up, we'll write something." And I woke up, and he'd put a guitar right by the couch so that I'd see it first thing. And I had this melody in my mind, and I just started playing it, and he heard it, and he came downstairs, and he says, "That's what we're writing." And he goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm headed home for 3 days." And he goes, "There it is." You know, it was that natural, you know.
I love it. Isn't that the truth? That's how, like, the best songs come about, stuff, just little random things like that. Talk about we got you. You know, my listeners will kill me if we don't go a little bit into Wave on Wave. What's the inspiration behind that? How did you, put pen to paper on that one?
That was a 4 o'clock in the morning song. I really don't. There was some chemicals involved in getting that one going for sure. I was up in the back of my bus, and I just heard that chorus came out first. And that was weird. I usually am a verse. Right, I write the verses first to see what the story is. But that one, the chorus came out, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I walked up to the front of the bus, and I said, "Look, I just wrote a great chorus. Whoever wants to sit up and write this with me, it's going to be a number one." And it's the only time I've ever been right about that. But Justin, my drummer, and my keyboard player, David, at the time, were just sitting there, and they're like, "Come on, let's do it." And, a few glasses more. It was over. That was a quick one. I remember that one being done in about less than an hour.
I love it. It's the one everybody knows you from. Obviously, it made you the household name. So it's I'm sure grateful for that. Dave, did you know?
And
that
it bought my house. So
yeah. That's great. Yeah, household name. It got you. Did you know that even up? I mean, you're coming up to DC. They still play. They play that song every game. Like, I can't remember if it's like after the 4th inning or something like that, where everyone takes their hats off and waves them around. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, I saw it during the World Series, and I was obviously that makes me smile a great deal. And there's a couple of places around the country where I think they waved to the veterans there at the Nationals games. And then like in Iowa at Kinnick Stadium for the Hawkeyes, there's a children's hospital adjacent to the stadium, and the kids come out to the window and the entire crowd waves at the kids in the hospital. I think it happens for the Texas Rangers as well. Down in Arlington, but that's a really proud thing for me. I mean, I'm glad that it's nothing. It's not like I came up with some great idea and said, "Hey, you guys got to do this." I mean, they did it on their own. So, it makes me smile for sure.
That's great, and I'm glad you were able to see it. The Nats do it on the World Series against those Astros. Those cheating. Yeah, we beat them
cheating,
anyway.
Cheating bastards! I know it.
But you're a Rangers fan, right? Don't they play? I like Texas.
I am. Yeah. Song. Yeah, that's every time we have a home win, they play one of my songs. And, I hate that, I hate that bad ideas like the cheating scandal. I hate that I don't know what people go through where they go, yeah, let's do that. it's like the guy that gets caught robbing TVs. Listen, I don't have enough money for this TV, so I'm just going to take it. And then they you get to go to jail for a TV. I mean, I don't get it, It's like,
yeah,
it's not my style.
The Nats won anyway, so it ends well in that one. But man, I can only imagine the firestorm in the town. And we lost by like a run or something, and then that came out. That would just been an S storm. So I'm glad that we came out on top anyway.
Well, me too.
All right.
But they're getting their just rewards, and it will pass. It will come and go, and it's just like anything else in this world, man. You learn your lessons, and then you move on.
Exactly. All right, cool. Well, before we cut you loose, you've been really generous with your time. Just real quick, you mentioned another D.C. tie, when you played FedEx Field with Kenny. Memories of that real fast? Because I know you've toured with, Dave Matthews and Keith Urban and Gretchen Wilson and, some of the biggest names out there. But, what's it like? You got to look back, and you're just, selling the whole and trying to make those little albums back in the early days, and then you're playing big sold-out concerts like FedEx with Kenny. But just talk about, that point in your career when you're playing all those stadiums and stuff.
Oh, that was a wonderful time. We were so young, and I had a flat belly and blonde hair, and, it was – man, those were wonderful times. The catering was really good. Catering was never – I've never had as good a catering as I did on Kenny Chesney's tour, but it's nervous. It's totally nerve wracking to stand up and sing for 60,000 people. I will say that. Those were great. The stadium shows back then. We did one in Seattle. We did it Cleveland. We did Boston at the Gillette. Big football stadiums. But on those shows, it was like a cavalcade, man. It was Brooks and Dunn and Keith Urban and us and. So in the arenas, it was just me and Kenny. Nerve wracking. That's the only thing I can say. Standing, singing for that many people for an hour that's tough to do.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it won't be as tough at 9:30 Club.
I'm used to that place. I've been there forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why should our listeners come on out just as we hop off here?
I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
Just saying, just as we hop off here in closing, why should our listeners come on out? Just bring it full circle back to the Texas Independence Show. Why should they come on out?
Well, I tell you what, come on out next year because it's already sold out. But I guess that says enough, doesn't it? I mean, if we're selling it out, it must be a good show.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're excited to see it, man. All right, everybody. Pat Green coming with Josh Evan and Randy Rogers Thursday at 9:30 Club. Hey, thanks. Yeah, you were great, man.
Hey, thanks so much. And again, thanks for having me on the air.
Of course. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jason.